Suleiman took the efforts of his great-granddad, Mehmet, to their logical conclusion to rebuild Constantinople as an Islamic center. Mehmet II made the bold decision of staying in Constantinople after the city had been captured in 1453. And in fact, if I were Mehmet II, I probably would have abandoned the city. It was a wreck. But Mehmet II built a number of the first mosques. He converted Hagia Sophia into a mosque and began the demolition of the imperial palace structure. And at the northern tip where the old civic center was, he commenced the construction of a new palace, the Topkapi Palace, which was added to and eventually became the great seat of Ottoman power through its classic age. Suleiman, besides being a great conqueror, was a great builder. He was served by a brilliant architect, Sinan, who was in the, who had been swept up in one of those levies for the Janissaries, was seen to be an extremely talented architect, was moved over into architecture and civil administration, and Sinan designed many of the great mosques that are in, Istanbul today. Foremost is the Suleimania, the great mosque in honor of, Suleiman the Magnificent. There's also a mosque to the succeeding Selim II, which has a low-lying dome, which is a really almost brilliant adaptation of the principles you would see in the Pantheon. And what Sinan did was create a mosque with a dome structure worthy of the types of madrasis and tekkes I talked about in the Seljuk period. That is, the Ottoman sultans created the quintessential domed mosque surrounded by minarets, which becomes the skyline of the Middle East today. And many of the cities of the Middle East where modern visitors associate these with Islamic architecture, think it goes back to the Arabs and Muhammad, what they're really looking at is a version of Ottoman architecture. That the quintessential mosque that has come to dominate Cairo or Tunis, certainly Istanbul, all goes back to these achievements in the time of Suleiman the Magnificent. And I have become so used to this as the norm of Muslim architecture that when I was out in Hong Kong several years ago, I was taken to a very fine mosque built in the Indian tradition, which is essentially a basilican hall in the Indian architectural traditions. And when I saw it, my immediate reaction was, well, this is not a mosque. And that's really a rather silly remark. A mosque is a place for prayer space. Any type of building could be a mosque. But in my mind, the imperial grand mosque, the domed mosque with the minarets, that is what a mosque should be. And Suleiman and his architect Sinan add that to the Islamic skyline of Asia Minor, finally creating a worthy mosque to stand beside the madrasi or the various tekke and turbe, those pious monuments that we find throughout the countryside. So with Suleiman's death in 1566, the Ottoman Empire had achieved perhaps its apogee. There were to continue to be great cultural achievements of the construction of the Blue Mosque, for instance, in the early 17th century, which is in some ways even more impressive than the Suleimania. And yet, ironically, the Ottoman Empire was on its decline. And some of this really was beyond the control of the Ottoman sultans. In part, they had been too successful. The Janissaries became a very conservative administrative class. They became impervious to technological change. And that technological change, especially in warfare, slowly went against the Ottoman sultans. In the 15th and 16th century, at the time of the Great Conquest, the Ottoman sultans were very interested in technological change. But it was the Western Europeans who leaped ahead. They perfected handheld firearms. They made more improvements in artillery, and particularly artillery that was put on ships. And these advantages slowly were shifting the military balance in the favor of that Western Christian foe. At the same time, there were changes going on over which the Ottoman sultans had no control. The Ottoman sultans built, in my opinion, perhaps the most successful of the traditional states in the entire Mediterranean world in the Near East. They drew upon institutions going back to the Romans, to the Persians. They were the summation of Islamic civilization, and yet at the same time, they happened to live at a time where perhaps the most important event since the fall of the Roman Empire took place. And in 1492, the Europeans discovered the New World, and within a generation, silver mined in Peru and Mexico flooded Europe and the Near East, caused a price revolution that absolutely undermined the fiscal integrity of the Ottoman Empire. And already in the later days of Suleiman's reign, the Ottoman state was facing continual fiscal and monetary crisis, and the situation just got worse.